Thank you, Jesus. Can we have a little round of applause for our pastor over here? It's Pastor Appreciation Month, like you guys know. In my filth, even, this man reached out to me. He prayed for me. I sat in that office. And just to begin things, I just want to thank you for that. That's me being up here is kind of my present to you this year. And I hope it's a good one. Next off, can we give it up for Jesus? How about that? Is that all you guys got? What if the Seahawks were playing right now? What you got? You know? I'm a Cowboys fan. You guys saw that one. So. Anyway, I'm just gonna start off with a little prayer. Lord, I just come to you right now, and I ask that you just anoint my lips, Lord. Where I'm just a mouthpiece for you, Lord Father, where I just decrease myself, Lord, so that you can increase. Lord, that you just, your word doesn't return void. It says that in Scripture, Lord, and I just ask that tonight, whatever it is that you have for me, Lord, that that just spills out of my mouth, Lord Father. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for redemption. I see family and friends here. I thank you for the invitation from Jeff. I thank you from the church. Lord, I just lift you up tonight, and hopefully you're blessed from this, Lord Father. Thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Speaking of football, I used to play, and before games, I would get a song stuck in my head, and that's how I got comfortable. That's how I calmed down. And I have a little lyric. It's from a Christian rap artist known as Lecrae. And it's just the end of one of his songs, and it was just stuck in here as I was sitting down. And it said, they said, you came for the lame. I'm the lamest. I made a mess, but you say that you'll erase it. I'll take it. They say you came for the lame. I'm the lamest. I broke my life, but you say you'll replace it. I'll take it. And that was me. I destroyed each and every aspect inside of my life. I pushed my friends and my family away. I pushed people that cared and loved about me away. And I went down a road of destruction. I'm better with getting things out. I write poems and journals. So I'm going to read you guys a little poem that I did this right as I got out of my rehabilitation that I went through this last year. Started with a promise made to moms that you'd have a baby boy. I know I caused you pain. Did I ever bring you joy? The foundation that you started in me, I didn't understand. All along you were trying to teach me what it was to be a man. You never wanted to bring up things speaking of your past. I wanted to be just like you, Pops. That's all I always ask. Realize now, looking back, that you tried to shield these eyes. Guide me in a path of righteousness instead of the world we abide. As a boy, I was good in school and sports. I always drew a crowd. The only question I have left is if I ever made you proud. As I watched you dying on your deathbed, I cried with so much pain. God, how could you do this to me? I took his name in vain. From that point on, things started to rapidly change. I was on the starting lineup for Satan, a player in the game. Thrown out into the world, time for you to man up. Totally deceived of what it was, I didn't understand what. I dwelled in the depths of darkness, only three places for me to go next. The penitentiary, institutions, and inevitably my last breath. Misconceptions, wrong directions, steered me from the plan. Not even close is what it takes to stand up and be a man. Like a bird to the snare, I was caught up in a trap. Alcohol and dope had me feeling all black. Still, I continued to juggle through the struggle, hiding all remorse. determined this was my life, so I tried to stay the course. I was bound in the chains of darkness, no hope of a way out. Guilt and shame weighing me down, I know how this one plays out. What kind of life you living, bro? There's gotta be more than this. Maybe you'd be better off if you didn't even exist. Drowning in a pool of liquor and drugs, headed to 4 defeat. In comes this precious light and drew me to my feet. Out of nowhere, I was headed to Idaho, a place called the Good Sam. I look back, and there's just one set of footprints in the sand. My God, you carried me, even when I cursed you and went astray. I want to give up all things of old. This is what I pray. Casting away all old garments, I bow at your feet. I just hope you can give me real wisdom and knowledge, not this useless one of the street. You protected me through it all, but it's my last chance, do or die. Your love, grace, and mercy, I will surely testify. I can, but I can't believe it's been 11 years. He got taken out of my life, cast away, cut like a pair of shears. I look just like him, so it's a constant reminder when I stand in front of mirrors. Thought liquor and drugs were the combination to fighting back the tears. Who knew he was there, catching every drop all along? Caught up in the midst of your love, I found where I belong. I can't do this on my own, all my decisions equal death. Thank you, Lord, for new life, every heartbeat, and every single last breath. And that kind of gives a rundown. I'm not going to go too much into my past. That doesn't glorify anybody. The only thing it does is it is my testimony. It is where I came from, and the testimony is you turning and running from that. You with your heart, you repent, not just with your words and your mouth, but with your actions and with your thoughts. And I was an opiate addict. I started out with prescription pills, and before this last year, it turned into heroin. I was disgusted with myself. I've never met a drug addict or an addict that's ever been proud of himself or enjoyed where they're at, enjoyed pushing their family away, enjoyed, you know, manipulating, lying, stealing, you know, doing all the different things. I don't think I can right now, but this is a black book. It's crazy. I do have a little message out of it today, but I'm not going to read. That's a journal, and this is from 3-4 years ago in the middle of my darkness. I just don't want to do that right now, so spare that. But it says, they will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And one of those has already happened, so I'm here today to share the other one. And that is my testimony. Praise the Lord. Today is a year clean and sober from absolutely everything. I had tried the love from my family. I tried getting clean to walk my sister down the aisle, and I did it, but then I went straight back into it. I tried an outpatient rehab. The thing that I was missing, and the hole in my heart that was missing, could only be filled by one thing, and I found out what that thing was. And that's why I even said in my message that, you know, now, or my poem, that now I'm home. I've never felt more at home. And I thank you guys for this opportunity. So, absolutely. And in here, in Scripture, it talks about in Proverbs that you train a child up in the way they should go, and it will never depart from them. And I just want you to know, Mom, that you did what you could in that. You and Dad raised me. I still had convictions. I still had morals. I still had some values left, even in my deepest, darkest of times, because of that that way that you brought me up. And You know, I came back, and I want to thank all you in here. I'm sure, let's raise a hand of you guys that have intercessed and prayed for me in the last, 8 years? Wow. Thank you. Give a round of applause for yourself. Right there. That's a hard thing to do. You know, when you, that's selflessness. Because you don't get to see the fruits of it right away. You're spending your time, hours behind the scenes, praying, and I just thank you guys. Anyways, I had something all prepared and everything, and I'm just like, you know what? Over in Idaho, at my church, we like to do a thing called, some of the younger kids will get this one, but we call it ghost riding the script, which is the scripture, and ghost ride the whip, you know, no, okay, whatever, nephews. And the Holy Spirit just come. Let's see what he's got for us today. It was crazy. Last Wednesday we have Bible studies, and John Padula, he asked us to think about one character in the Bible that represents you and one that you want to be more like. And, you know, of course, the ones that represented people, they're Paul and Peter, you know, ones you wanted to be like, Enoch get taken, you know. I picked Balaam's donkey. Now, I don't think I need to tell you guys what the King James Version says that is, but it, he uses a donkey quite frequently to teach and to reprove other people, to bring other people to the Lord. Balaam's donkey just sat down one day. It's because he saw the angel of the Lord. And Balaam, you know, didn't see it, and he started beating it, and what are you doing? Well, and then the donkey speaks and says, this is something that I normally do. And, you know, it's because he was steering him out of the path of destruction. And I feel that's what the Lord does with me. I'm nothing special. It's nothing to me. But when he needs to use me to speak, he uses me to speak. He uses me to stop that path. And in the program, praise the Lord, now I get to facilitate at the same program I went to, and it's such a blessing. But the same thing, I get to stop and say, bro, I know where that leads. I know where this continuation leads to, and it's destruction, hurt, and pain. Next, when I was driving over from Idaho, it's a 6.5-hour drive, and I was just... For a while, the service gets pretty bad, so no Pandora. I don't had a same CD in there forever for my mom that I can memorize and know every single word, and I just was like, I'm just going to have some quiet time. And I get this revelation. I kept hearing the number two, thinking about the number two, and I was, what do you got for me, Lord? What's coming up? And he just says, you know, the psalm, peace be still and know that I am God. And I was all trying prepared because I was nervous coming up here, and it's like I already studied to show myself approved on the daily basis, walking it out. He's like, I'm gonna help you, I'm gonna lift you up. And he said, keep it simple. It's the simplicity of the gospel. Amen. And I found out that the twos, it ends up being 22, which is a catch 22, which is my life. And here, I get crazy with numbers. My mom taught me how to count with hugs and kisses, so I like numbers. But anyways, and the 22 also happens, I have three 16s, which 3, 16, that's 19. Three of them, that's 22. You guys know one of the 3 16s, and we'll dig into the other ones right now. But this is the revelation as I was just driving on my way over. And We're going to start off with, does everyone have their swords, their Bibles, or a lightsaber if you prefer your iPhone? I'm down with that too. But the first one is 2 Timothy 3:16. When you're there, Jesus is Lord. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. So that's the first one I came to. And, you know, either someone was crazy smart and knew everything about the world, knew everything about us as human beings, could prophesy, could hold up literature 2,000 years ago that stands up today, or this is the inspired word of God. Yep. Call me crazy, but I'm going to take option number two. In Proverbs, we go through that on a daily basis. I would encourage you guys to do that if you don't already. There's a number for every day. Go through. It's a major wisdom book in the Bible. How to train a child, how to handle your finances, relationships, the whole nine yards. Anyways, the next 3:16, let's run to John. And you guys probably know this one. It's pretty popular. For God so loved the world, he so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that so whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Simplicity, but powerful. It's crazy to think that the creator of the universe, something so majestic, so wonderful, so indescribable. So I'm not going to use any more adjectives to try to describe him. Would want a relationship, a personal relationship with me, with you, with all of us. That he would come down in the flesh, knowing what he was going to have to go through to overcome the sins of the world. Crazy. Just ponder that for a second. Now the third one is in Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Wow. If that doesn't make you want to get up and start doing the things that you're called to do, being the person that you're called to be, and applying yourself on a daily basis, picking up that cross and going after the Lord, I don't know what does. And it's fulfilling doing that. I've never felt more purpose, more drive, more motivation to do well, and not for myself, not anything of myself, but to be in that, you know, it says let your light shine in Matthew, I think 5:16, be that light. Most of the time I don't even have to say anything, and my mom can attest to it. When I went over there to the ranch, it was the same thing. John Padua didn't have to say a word. Stephen Hemming didn't have to say a word. Hopefully I'll get to bring some of those guys back. It's crazy, but because they can speak too. They're not just the physical light. But that's, you just see the joy and the happiness. And it only comes from the Lord. It It's crazy how far the Lord has brought me in a year. Just like I said, I tried doing it on my own. I tried doing it for other people, and I couldn't. So, you know, the first thing we have to do is, says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. And like I was talking earlier, we need to repent and turn away from there. We need to pick up our cross and follow after the Lord. And that's how we get to that, you know, eternal life. It, you know, faith without works is dead, but you do see the works when you have your faith, though. Next, I'm going to go into Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. And actually, if you just go to 46, the rest of them will be right behind it. So, and I shared this story earlier when I was at Shekinah. This is... I apply this one to my life right here. And it may say in some of your Bibles that Bartimaeus receives his sight. I like to have the AJV and put myself in there where AJ receives his sight. So we're going to run through that real quick. And they came unto Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind AJ, the son of Debbie, sat by the highway side begging. And that first verse is big. When you do some research on it, back then they had to have a garment, had to have a robe, and there were different colors for whether they were lame or whether they were blind or deaf. And that was basically their license to beg. That's how they could sit on the side and beg, were these robes. Identity. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should be quiet and hold his peace, but he cried a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I relate that to myself, too, with the enemy just pulling me down, thinking with the guilt and the shame, with the unworthiness pulling me back, saying, no, you this is what you deserve. You deserve to stay over here. You deserve to be separated. You're the scum of the earth. You're worthless. You have no purpose. You have nothing. So I continue to withdraw from my family, from my good friends, from the church, from anything good in my life, because I didn't feel deserving. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And that's when I got over to Good Sam, and I seen people like John Padua. And he looked at me and he said, that's for you too. There's nothing too far, and to be honest, compared to the guys over there, I look like a saint already when I just walked in there. We get guys out of prison, out of jail there on a weekly basis, and, you know, looking at, you know, federal time for a long time. Anyways, and he cast away his garment, and he rose and came to Jesus, and that's my garment. That's that identity of AJ, the drug addict, AJ, the criminal, AJ, the manipulator, the lie, the cheat, you know, all those different things. That's me casting that off and coming to Jesus and saying, I need you now. Take me. Am I worthy? No. Are any of us worthy? No. But he does it for us. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus into the way. And that was me. I was blind in the world. I mean, I could physically see, but in a spiritual realm and in just anything emotionally or with where I was going, I was all blind until the Lord came in and was the lamp unto my feet. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is one of my favorite verses. Therefore, anyone in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And how many things become new? All. Not just one or two or a couple. Everything. And this, I really stuck onto this verse because that was one of my big things. I never wanted to hurt the people I did. I never wanted to be that person. And the guilt and the shame from it was something that I held on to, that the enemy wanted me to hold on to so I couldn't persevere, so I couldn't overcome. He wanted to tie me down. He wanted me to be in those chains. And so what did that do? I continued to use and to get messed up to combat that and to deal with that. And like I said earlier, with repentance, there comes a hate for sin. And I've heard this used, and I'm going to use it. Our pastor from our church says, sin is like liver to him. Where you put liver on a dinner table, and it don't matter if he's hungry or not, he's not going to attempt to eat that. Because he despises liver that much. And so for myself, drawing off of that sin, I despise it now. And praise the Lord that it's a sanctifying process, because it's a process every day. Yeah. You know? And I'm going to go off another analogy right now, or metaphor or something, I don't know. One of my mentors over there, he said that back in the day, silver smelters, they didn't have all the fancy temperature gauges and stuff that they do nowadays. They didn't have timers and all that. So the smelter would have to sit there scraping the dross and going through the refining process. And the way that he knew the impurities were out, and that he knew that it was getting refined and becoming pure, as he could see his reflection in that silver. And that's what the Lord does with us. Amen. And burning sometimes, you know, you think of burning, that's not pleasant. Sometimes, it's scraping it off there. But it's not too much, it's not too little. It's just enough to where he starts to see his reflection in ourselves. And once he can see that, and you become that, and you start walking in his way, you know, in Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself unto the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's not a Lamborghini. It's not a Ferrari. You start to line your thoughts and ideas up with his. And then he really does. He gives you that purpose. He gives you that will, that drive to succeed and to fill his purpose. Which he's our creator, and he loves you. And in that, he knows what your desires are, and he wants to make us happy. And just like I said, working at that facility now and getting to minister to guys, is I'm home there as much as I am when I come over here. It's always nice to come back and see faces, you know, see my family, and be redeemed. The Lord has redeemed me with my family. And that's all, exactly. Thank you, Jesus. I get to, you know, I'm 6.5 hours away, and I've got to see more of my nephew's football games this year than I did when I was right here at home, being selfish. By the way, I'm staying home for yours tomorrow as well. I was going to leave in the morning, but I got my shift covered. But to see these little guys run around, you know, that's what it's all about. We call them the little things in life. They're not so little. Amen. Family and friends and love and support. We get so wrapped up in ourselves. What time is it? What are we? Am I just rolling? When I stop? Okay. Well, I could probably talk forever. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Another verse that's on my heart, and I want you guys to turn to this one, even though it's just one verse. John 19:30. You there? You got it? When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, and this is him, you know, when he's up on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. How hard that must have been. But this is that time where he doesn't just kind of slightly pull away sin. He doesn't just kind of slightly, you know, he doesn't hold back at all. This is where he says it is finished. This is where he pays for everything that we've done. And the Passion of the Christ and all those movies can't even come close to seeing what that must have been like. If you can just ponder on that for a second, not even here, but just when you go and really think about it. Mine's kind of an extreme case, but we've all been forgiven of so much, and he deserves so much, and that's being available. That's having time to do His will. Says, be available. Availability is simplifying our daily needs so we are ready and able to serve those whom God brings to us. Making yourself available. Some of you guys might know Jody Dieter, but I, same with Jeff, making your guys available. And even a lot of you girls on Thursday nights that prayed for me for so long. And every other day that you guys did it as well. Man, making yourself available, giving that time. And I hope tonight, if anything, I can just be that hope. Because, I mean, my mom had to wait a long time. You guys had to wait a long time. But I just want you guys to know, and this is where I'm gonna go into the evil black book for a second, but I do that. I always had Bible verses at the top of my journals, even in my filth. Amen. And this one is in a different version. I'm not quite sure what it is, but at the top of it says, "I do not sit with the worthless or associate with hypocrites. I hate a crowd of evildoers, and I do not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence." 6/28/2010. What was it? 2013 last year? And granted, I was pretty messed up, so I don't even remember writing this. This is all came after. But when I went over to Idaho to go through the facility, well, we memorize scripture on Wednesdays. It alternates back from girls to boys. And I got shown the Psalm 26, not knowing about this. Just like I said, this came later when I read this. And it became my prayer. It's from David to the Lord, but it became my prayer, my hope. And it was only after I got out of the ranch, though, and I started doing the teaching and the facilitating and all that, and my life started lining up in every aspect with it, that I felt that I could say this prayer as myself after I got water baptized and I went. And it says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I walk in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, prove me, try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth." And this is where it starts in there, the 4-6, just a different version. I'm doing King James. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregations of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocency, so may I compass thine altar, O Lord. O Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and thy place where thy honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. As for me, oh, no, that's not, it goes, redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, and in the congregation may I bless the Lord. And that's the end of Psalm 26, and that's my prayer today. And that's what I hope we did for him today, is bless the Lord as he has blessed me this last year. I've had a crazy roller coaster ride this last year. Today was a big stepping stone. I thank you so very much for the opportunity, Jeff. Thank you, church, for the opportunity to come up here. Thank you, family and friends. Patty, I love you. Thank you for coming. God is good. Amen. He answers prayers. And my last little note I'm going to leave for you is, we always go through Ephesians 6 and we talk about the breastplate of righteousness and helmet of salvation and the sword and the shield of faith and the belt of truth and all that. Read the very end. It talks about prayer. So you people that prayed for me, you guys that continue to intercede and you don't get to see those fruits all the time, continue on doing it. Amen. It says his word will not return void. So till up that soil, plant the seeds for him, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, guys.
Do you guys have big plans that you're going to switch gears with? Do we have a little time? Not going to mess with it. Okay, Chris, bring your worship team up a little bit. Please. Sorry, I didn't mean to demand this of you. And just play quietly for a little. Oh, I think this is yours. Gosh, you've almost got enough for gas to get home. So let's do this. AJ, you're a man. Stand up. Stand right over there. For years and years, people have spoken to AJ, and he's heard some. None of us have it. Well, maybe some of you have some idea of what he's heard, because it's probably not that unique. But he's heard some people tell him some anything that will bring the Holy Spirit. He's heard some terrible things, but I just want to take a couple minutes, and I don't want to invite anybody to come up here and do a mini sermon or 3-point anything. But there are some of you who the Lord's been stirring things up in you, and there's some things that he can say through you to AJ right now, and I just want him to hear those things. So just come up and stand up right behind me right now. Just come on up here. You don't even have to know what you're going to say, but just come on up here, because the Lord will give you words to say. And we're just going to speak into AJ, just speak into his life. You've been there for a year getting your heart softened, so you're ready for this. You are. You're ready to hear this stuff. Because God's been softening your heart for a reason. He knows you. And now you're starting to get to know him, and it's amazing how much of him is coming out of you now. And that's only starting, AJ. I hope you don't get the feeling that this is somehow the top of the mountain, because there's so much more for you. In fact, I was sitting there thinking, if you want to be a leader in ministry, go for it. Just go for it. You could pastor a church. You could lead a revolution. There are so many things you could do. You could take over a small country, probably. I mean, you really could. God's put so much inside of you, and he's made your heart ready for him. And I just want to encourage you, don't set your sights too low right now, because the whole world is his, and he can give you any of it he wants.
Just to confirm, AJ, no limitations for you, man. The whole world is out there for you. So proud of you.
Yeah, and what spoke to me, AJ, is it isn't anything about us. It's about Jesus' grace on you. His grace is sufficient and all-powerful, and it's on you, AJ.
AJ, I kept seeing you playing piano, and I don't know if you have ever thought about it or if you've ever tried, but the Lord's saying it's time for you to play, it's time for you to write music, and it's time for you, it's just time. And then the other thing I kept seeing was just purple. And royalty, and I just felt like the Lord was just saying that that's the garment. You know, that when you come up here tonight and talk to us, that that's the garment you're clothed in.
I told you this morning, AJ, that the Lord reminded me of one of those Thursday nights that you were being prayed for by the crazy women. And the Lord had showed me a picture of you all in armor. But you were kneeling at that time. And tonight, as you were delivering a message, he showed me that you are standing with that armor of Ephesians 6. And there's nothing that God can't do through you. So I just bless you. You have that armor, and now you're standing up. And it's the coolest thing. It's the coolest thing. The Lord loves you.
I'm going to close my eyes because I saw a picture, and it was during prayer time, and I knew you were going to be here, and I just closed my eyes and immediately saw a balcony, and I saw your dad standing over the balcony, and he had a plaid shirt on, and he had this big smile on his face, and I heard the Lord say, just as the Father God in heaven is proud of you, your Father, your natural father is so proud of you, and he's heard you and he saw you tonight. He was over standing over the balcony of heaven watching you, and I could just see that. And this is my son. I'm so proud of you.
I don't know you, AJ, but I heard you pray for an anointing of your lips before you started. And I just want to let you know that tonight I felt him speaking through you. It wasn't just your words and your experiences, but that he was actually talking through you to many of us here tonight. And I just want to let you know.
This is out of John 15, where Jesus was speaking to the disciples, but I felt like it was a word for you specifically. He says, AJ, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, AJ, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you, AJ, ask in my name, the Father will give you.
AJ, thank you. And since you were little, I've been praying for you. And I can't remember, you're about 4 or 5. And the Lord woke me up one morning, and he told me, this is what he said, I am AJ's deliverer. And he still says that, and I've been able to share that with your mom throughout the years. But what he spoke to me tonight was about your dad, too. And your dad was one of the sons of thunder. And he's passed that on to you. It's yours now. Amen. Love you.
Hey. I see you playing football, dude. And I just see you running for that touchdown. And there's nothing that's going to stop you. There's nothing that's going to get in your way. Because you got a God, you got a blocker that's not going to, nothing touch you. Nothing. So just keep going, because you're already there. Just keep going.
I saw this picture of you, Jay, and you were holding this bow, and it was as tall as you. And you're trying to draw it back and shoot the arrow, and you could. And I'm like, man, that's huge. Huge bow. And the Lord said, no, he's growing into the bow. Then I saw another picture where there's just all these children and they're holding bows, and you're an archer teacher.
First of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing with us and sharing your story, because it's a big deal. And so I have a song for you. It's Don't Stop Believing by Journey. It's an old rock band, you know? Because I see that's you, because even when you're in your black book, there was something that you believed and you believed and you longed for, that there was something better and bigger than what you were in at that moment. And then I want you to remember that just not stop believing that God can be big enough and strong enough to do more and more in your life. Like Jeff said, you're not at the top of that mountain. There's more and more. So just don't stop believing for bigger and better and greater for your life.
Amen. Proud of you. That armor, H.A., is not for your protection only. He called you to be a warrior. He's given you the sword. You know it well. And he's going to teach you how to use it even more than you ever thought you could. You're a warrior.
You look different from the back, not sitting in the back. I didn't expect to come up here and see John. I kind of have to apologize to you, because I've never asked God to take away the pain. I've never asked God to shield you from it. because you need that where you're at. And that God would rinse those and make them clean and fresh when you're standing in front of those who've walked your road. Because not very many can minister to people who've lost their dad, whether it's from their dad's own choice or like yours.
I just want to say thanks as well, and very proud of you as well, and you're an encouragement to me, and I couldn't let the ladies get all the glory. Us men were up there praying for you on Thursday night too. We've been standing in intercession for you, and you are your mighty warrior of God, and you are a man of God, and I just want to say that we certainly pray blessings for you all the time, and we're going to continue to. And I just want to say that you stand tall. So thank you.
A while back, Jeff was talking to one of our kids, one of Evangel's kids, and was talking about how much of a success story they are. Now, you weren't here when Wayne Nelson gave us a really good example of who Jesus is. And he had two people come up, and he had one of them turn and walk away, like we turn and walk away from Jesus, and the other one stood like Jesus. And he said, but then you stop and you turn towards Jesus. But Jesus doesn't expect us to walk and trudge back to him. He comes up and meets us as if we never walked away. You're here now. I can't speak for the church, but I can speak for me. It's like you've never gone. You're here now. I'll let the church speak for themselves. And the church said,
so thankful to Jesus. No one but Jesus could do what he's done in 1 year. When I thought about Tiffany and I yesterday driving you to Idaho and just what he's done in 1 year, I mean, it still just blows me away. And years before that, Kurt and Jim being in our condo, calling you home, just calling you by name, AJ, come home. And to see that the Lord kept his promises to me 27 years. I am just so thankful.
Nobody's coming up after Mom.